Hey, good morning, everyone. My name's Jerry Root. I'm a volunteer in the campus ministry staff, and so that's who I am. Most people call me Rooter. You can call me Rooter. Hey, this morning, I'd like to reflect on a few things, but first and foremost, I'd like to reflect on the theme of this year, Growing World Christians in a Soil of Hope. I really love that theme. It reflects action, and it reflects nurturing. And just simply by the fact that you guys are here in force every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sundays, I just think it speaks so highly of your desire to grow in your faith. And as a community member and a campus ministry volunteer who spends a fair amount of time on campus, it's very inspiring for me to come here and see the chapel filled with students each day, each week, and it really is a privilege to participate in authentic worship with you. The campus ministry staff is a gifted and committed group of people. I don't think I need to tell you that. Their desire to grow world Christians in the soil of hope is really centered in scriptural teaching, and it's bathed in prayer. They love God, they love you, and they love Hope College. Each of the chaplains has their own approach to ministry, which I believe really makes them an effective team. Kate recently led us at chapel in a centering prayer. You might perhaps have remembered it. Be still and know that I am God. Tools like that help us grow. Her prayers at the gathering are wonderful models of connecting with God about not only ourselves, but the world around us. Paul recently encouraged us to grow by being involved in community. I believe the word was haver. Do you remember it? Haver. All right, girls. Haver. Say it. Guys. Haver. Well, the deep baritone, yes. Growing through community. It's another valuable tool or strategy to deepen our faith. And then there's Trigg, the guy who loves words. Big words, small words, medium-sized words. I love how Trigg paints pictures with his words. I love how he encourages us to use our imaginations. God breathing life into man's nostrils, found in the second book of Genesis, is a particularly moving picture for me, and it just seems to gain more depth and insight each time I hear him describe this. And then there's Josh and his group of talented musicians. I love how we sing and often pray the words from the songs that we sing. Expanding our concept of prayer through the lyrics of song is just another tool that helps us grow in our understanding and worship of God. And I'm wondering for just a second, would you join me in thanking them for their efforts in leading us in worship? Now, I may get a free breakfast at Windmill for that. Well, this morning, I'd like to pick up on a picture of worship that's described in Genesis that has captured my imagination and perhaps will capture yours as well. I think this picture can enhance our practice of worship. The picture involves building an altar. In Genesis, Noah, described as a man who found favor in the eyes of God, built an altar after surviving the flood. He built the altar because he had experienced God in a very significant manner. I would love to have been there to witness what his worship might have entailed. To be sure, thankfulness would have been part of his worship, but I also have to imagine that there was great adoration expressed as well. I would have loved to have heard Noah's language of adoration. This has captured my imagination. Abram, in the book of Genesis, after being told about the land of Canaan that he and his offspring would receive forever, built an altar as a response to hearing from God. Again, imagine what we might have observed if we had been right there with Abram. I'm intrigued by what their language of adoration might have described. It had to have been authentic and laden with deep felt emotion. Well, building an altar after a significant encounter with God and adoring God. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go out and build altars each time we have a significant encounter with God. Imagine what this campus would look like today. Altars dating back to 1866. Many altars. But what I am suggesting is that in our own faith journey, having conversation with our God, that we too can more effectively adore God by paying close attention to the language of adoration. Focusing on adoring God, even in our day-to-day conversations with God, helps expand our understanding of God. For me, outside of songs that express adoration and being led in prayer by pastors and chaplains, I've discovered that when praying by myself, I quickly jump to expressions of thanks for things like health and strength and the variety of blessings, and then probably on to particular needs that I, my family, or friends might have, and then to confession. And who knows how long that can go. Adoration isn't as frequently incorporated into the conversation as I would like and as God deserves. Well, someone taught me a long time ago a simple acronym that I'm finding useful in shaping my prayers, although I'm not suggesting that we need to adhere to a certain prayer formula. The acronym is ACTS, A-C-T-S. Perhaps you've heard it, perhaps you use it. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplication, a word we don't use very often, but it basically means asking for specific needs. Now, three out of the four are commonly found in my prayers: confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But I'm desiring to express adoration more. And I have discovered how rich this can be to verbalize in my own prayer life some aspect of God that has been made through Scripture and through prodding of the Holy Spirit. By focusing on adoration first, my attention begins upward rather than inward. For me, I believe my gratitude for who God is gets expanded. I find focusing on an attribute of God centers my thoughts. I more easily realize how present that attribute is and has been in my own life. Names, titles, and descriptions of God abound in the Bible. Focusing on attributes of God as we begin to pray puts God at the beginning rather than me. Listen to some familiar descriptors that perhaps were used by Noah and Abram as they stood at the altars they had constructed. And these descriptors could shape the content of our own adoring God. Listen to them. My comfort, my rock, my stronghold in times of trouble, a sanctuary, holy one, shepherd, the one who sees me, my provider, potter, adoration combined with confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Acts, A-C-T-S. It's pretty simple, I admit. And it's a basic tool, but it's one that I think can be pretty powerful. Noah and Abram, building an altar after a significant encounter, lifting up praise and adoration. Oh, how I would have loved to have been there to hear their worship, their adoration, their confession, their expression of thanks, their supplication, but especially their adoration. People of hope, as you encounter our living God on your own, perhaps in your Talmudim groups, here at chapel with your roommate, with your friends, with your boyfriend, girlfriend. That's right, it is October 1 tomorrow, isn't it? Remember to adore God. Like Noah and Abram, make expressing adoration a natural part of your conversation with him. There's no need to wait to have a significant encounter with God. There's no need to build an altar. Adore him. Learn the language of adoration. Now, I've asked senior nursing student Kimberly Cook to lead us in a very familiar chorus to finish our time together. Kimberly, won't you come on up? And I'd like to have you join her as she leads us in that familiar chorus, "O come, let us adore him."
O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Why don't you stand up and we'll sing it one more time as we're ready to leave. Go in peace. Thanks.